In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. As Martin Luther begins his explanation to the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer in his small catechism that I've just read for you, notice that right there at the beginning, he cites the Apostle James on temptation. The Apostle writes in James 1, verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." And yet, in our gospel text for this first Sunday in Lent, God the Father wills God the Holy Spirit to drive God the Son into the wilderness so that he might be tempted. This passage is full of difficulties. God is both being tempted and, in a less than indirect way, he wills the temptation. This difficulty may cause us to doubt God. If he tempted his son, will he not tempt me? To be sure, though, neither the Father nor the Spirit tempt the Son in the wilderness, because God tempts no one. God the Father does will his Son to be tempted, and God the Holy Spirit does drive our Lord Jesus into the wilderness so that he might be tempted, but God still tempts no one, not even his Son. It is the devil, the tempter, who tests our Lord here in the wilderness as he seeks to draw him away into sin, away from his mission to redeem lost humanity. And so God sends his Son, who has taken on our human flesh, to do battle with the devil in the wilderness. The seed of the woman prophesied in Genesis chapter 3 has begun his duel with the serpent of the garden for you. He goes to battle for you. He suffers for you. He is tempted for you. As the writer of Hebrews says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." See, all that our Lord endured, beginning with his temptation in the wilderness and culminating in his death on the cross, all that he endured was for us men and for our salvation, so that he might overthrow the power of Satan and draw us to himself. And so each of the devil's temptations of our Lord in the text from Matthew chapter 4, they're all designed to accomplish the same, and the devil seeks to tempt our Lord into idolatry. He tempts our Lord to give up his single-minded devotion to his Father's will in favor of selfish pursuits. And so the devil appeals to our Lord's physicality. "Command these stones to become loaves of bread." The devil also appeals to our Lord's trust in his Father. "Throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" The devil appeals to our Lord's commitment. "Take the easy way out. All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." But notice too how hidden within the first two temptations is another temptation. See, the devil appeals to our Lord's identity, tempting him to pride. "If you are the Son of God, then prove it." Does not the devil tempt us in these same ways? He appeals to our physicality, tempting us to indulge in gluttony and immorality, in greed and envy and sloth. Did God actually say that you must restrain your sinful flesh? I mean, what you do with this body doesn't really matter that much. You're going to die and your body be destroyed anyway. Why not indulge a little bit? After all, you deserve it. You work so hard. You go through so much. A little bit won't hurt. The devil also appeals to our trust in the Lord, tempting us to believe that God is not good. Did God actually say that he would provide for you? Life is so hard and so many things go wrong for you and your loved ones. You know, if God actually cared about you, he wouldn't let these things happen to you. You need to take charge. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get your life together. You are the only person that you can trust. The devil also appeals to our commitments, tempting us to take the easy way out when facing difficulty. Did God actually say that honesty and integrity are necessary virtues? A little white lie here or there isn't a big deal. In fact, being blatantly honest and rigidly committed to the truth ends up hurting and offending people. Why don't you just relax a little bit in your inflexible devotion to that Bible of yours? The easy way out is better for everyone. In these ways and so many more, Satan assaults our faith throughout our days of wandering through the wilderness of this earth. He tempts us in every way that he tempted our Lord. But of course, hidden within all of these temptations is another temptation. Through all temptation, the devil appeals to our identity, tempting us to forget what the Lord has said about us. I have called you by name. You are mine, says the Lord. So when the devil tempts us, no matter how trivial it may seem, our eternal identity as a baptized child of God is at stake. And so we see that the devil tempts us on all sides. He appeals to anything through which he can gain a foothold into our lives, tempting us ultimately to abandon our baptismal identity. How then do we resist his temptations? How do we, in the words of Luther, finally overcome them and win the victory? Well, as the proverb says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so we must, above all else, forsake pride in favor of humility. See, you are not Jesus. You might be able to learn a thing or two from him about how to resist Satan's temptations, but you are not Jesus. You will not overcome temptation perfectly, as our Lord did. As a finite, sinful human being, you're simply incapable of it. And so, in order to win the final victory over Satan, you must utterly despair of your own ability to receive this grace of Christ. As Satan assaults our faith throughout our days of our earthly pilgrimage, we follow him who did for us what our father Adam and we have so often failed to do. Where we have failed, Christ has conquered. Where we have sinned, Christ has overcome. For us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. See, our final victory over temptation comes through reliance on Christ, who defeated Satan for us and accomplished that which we are unable to do. There in the wilderness, Christ stands on your behalf. God willed that he suffer temptation in your stead. God tempts no one of us, for he has allowed his Son to be tempted for us. In Christ, he has taken the evil assaults of the devil upon himself, so that through endurance we might be given the victory through him. And so then, all that is left is to endure a little while longer. The victory has been won. The serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden has been overcome by the tree of the cross. And so our Lord teaches us that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so when faced with temptation, this is how we overcome and endure. Not that we ourselves overcome the temptation, but we cling to the word of him who has overcome temptation for us. And so as we fight against sin, we cling to God's word, trusting that he is good, just as he promises. When we give in to temptation and we sin, we still cling to that same word of God, trusting that he is good, just as he promises. The word of the Lord is our strength and comfort in spiritual warfare. The word of Jesus delivers to us every victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil, because in that word is contained the Lord Jesus himself, who crushed the serpent's head, who faced temptation for us, and who by his faithfulness unto death has won the victory for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.